being surprised, delighted, shocked, and humbled. Every turn, every new day with Jesus was a holy adventure. Jesus called them, they followed. He taught, they listened. He guided, they stumbled along behind him and beside him, sometimes faithful, sometimes clueless. Kind of reminds you of me and you, doesn't it? They're a lot like us, following Jesus wherever he might lead. As they journeyed together, Jesus often would in intimate conversations with them. He'd pull them to one side and he'd share something with them. He would share it with his disciples, maybe Mary and Martha and a few of the others. He would call them to share something very wonderful and special about himself with his closest of friends, something that would help them along their journey. One day, Jesus gathered his followers around him and he began to teach them the words that are in our lesson today. We might imagine Christ saying something similar to us as we journey together as the church. If we ask him what he would have us do, what should shape and define our life together as the church, he might remind us that we are called and set apart as God's gift to the world, and that through our life together, through our witness as the body of Christ, God is redeeming and God is renewing all of creation. You see, through us, the ministry of Jesus continues on. Continues because we have been given his ministry of reconciliation. Through us is healing the sick. Through us, with God in us, we are able to help in healing the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, reclaiming the lost, offering hope to the hopeless, making peace, proclaiming resurrection. We can do all these things through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and looking to God as the root, through him, he allows us, his children, to be able to help him on his journey. If we are truly, truly the church. You see, it is not that God cannot do these things apart from us, but that for some strange reason, God has chosen to work through the broken, the messy, the limited nature of our lives as the church. He chooses to use us, his children, in all the mess that we come with and all the baggage that we have. He still loves us, he still wants us, and he still uses us for his glory. You see, God's kingdom, God's beloved community, is like a vine lovely planted by God, who is the vine grower. That vine is a sign of the foretaste of God's kingdom, pointing to the renewal of all creation. That vine is Jesus, the first fruit of a renewed creation, the source of life and healing and renewal for all. You see, in the midst of the world of death and decay, Jesus is the vine, is a sign and a source of life. All who come to him, abide in him, and make their life in him will find the fullness of life. So as long as we remain attached, connected to the vine through prayer, through worship, through study, through fellowship and service, as long as we are friends of Jesus, we will grow and thrive and bear much fruit. But we have to stay connected. We have to be a part. And by doing so, we do it each and every day if we pray, if we worship, if we study God's Word, if we fellowship one with another, if we serve others in His name. We are staying connected to the branch that is Him. You see, but if we seek our own way, if we follow our individual agendas, like the things we want to do all the time, how many of you would want to be somewhere else this morning? How many of you just came because something special was happening today? How many of you usually are somewhere else? Think about, are you serving God as you should, or are you just showing up once in a while? Are we serving our own agendas, or are we truly serving the church? You see, if we make the church about the pastor, oh my goodness, please don't. Or if we make it about the members, we shouldn't. And attach ourselves to people and ideas, anything or anyone other than our true vine, Jesus Christ, we will be like dead wood, which is cut off and used for kindling. It'll be like those vines that have to be pruned, the grapevines that we prune off in January and February that you cut back and that you People make wreaths out of them, or people throw them in a pile and throw them into woods or burn them. They are no more good. They are of no more use. But when you cut that back from that main source, you begin to see little things happen. Little buds pop out, and then the leaf begins, and then little quarrels. And after a while, you see things. And I looked at Mama's the other day when I had cut them back, and I looked the other day, and we got little grapes all over them. They're hanging in tiny little tags. They're getting ready. They're getting ready. So if we don't do that, if we don't protect ourselves, if we don't come from the main source, we're going to be like that dead wood. We're just going to be floating around, and we're going to be used for kindling. Because of our inflated sense of self-importance, Jesus' words are an important reminder to the church that He is the vine, the source of our life together. He is at the center of the church. He's the center of the church, not you and not me. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. If we remain intimately and organically connected to the vine, if we stay in love with Jesus, if we dwell in God's love and make our house, our home in His heart, then we will grow and run and flourish and bear much fruit in God's kingdom. You see, the church exists not for itself, but for the life of the world, for the healing of the nations. We are merely the first among the redeemed and are the means whereby God, the vine grower, is tending and renewing the garden of creation. You see, to that end, Jesus Christ has called us His friends and has invited us to join Him in kingdom work. He has allowed us to be a part of the great kingdom that He has provided here on earth. He wants you and me to be a part of it. He wants us to keep it going. But this is only possible in as much as we respond to Christ's gracious invitation to abide in Him. You see, we have to respond when He invites us. We have to come forth. We have to stand up. We have to make a decision. Perhaps Jesus had this conversation with His disciples because He knew them and He knows us so very well. He knew our tendency to abide in all the wrong things, to make career or family or our superficial desires or even our anxieties and fears our home. So many times we choose so many other things to be the true home. So if we find that our life together is not productive, what happens? If we find that we are not producing what God wants us to do, the kind of fruit that we'd like, then perhaps we need to look at where and whom we are abiding in. Maybe we need to look in the mirror. Maybe we need to take a look around us. Where are we spending our time? To whom are we devoting our attention and energy? To whom or to what have we given our hearts? Perhaps we need to ask ourselves what part of us, what part of the church needs to be pruned. Where is the dead wood in our lives, in your lives? Is it in our fellowship? Is it in our witness that needs to be removed and thrown into the fire so that there is room for something new to grow in its place? Do we need to get rid of some of the mess that we hang on to? To abide with Christ means spending time in the presence of Christ until that relationship becomes our natural condition. When we put ourselves in His Word and in His place, learning and abiding, we abide with Christ means that we give Him our time. It means that we give Him our energy, our attention, our prayer, our worship, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. All that we are, not just occasionally, not just once in a while, not just at Easter and Christmas, not just at when it's a birthday, not just once in a while when we feel like it, but always. Not when it's convenient for our schedule, each and every day of our lives. Jesus says to us, the church, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15:11. You see, here we are in this season right after Easter. We're still in the Easter season. We've been through Pentecost and Trinity. It's the season of the resurrection. The promise, the good news is for us, the church, is that because of Easter, it's because of Easter, we are not alone. Christ has come even to us. has made his home in us, and he offers us life on the vine, an opportunity to share in the life-giving fellowship that exists at the very heart of God. So where, O church, are we abiding today? Abide in Jesus as he abides in you, so that your joy may be complete. Jesus tells us that I am the vine and ye are the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Because without him, oh, we can do nothing. So abide in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word this day. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you are truly the true vine. You are the source by which we draw our strength. And we know, Lord, in that, that we find a place where we can call home. We find a place where we know we need. And sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror. Sometimes it's hard to see that we truly need to give ourselves truly to you, not just once in a while, not just on occasion, but each and every day of our lives, that we are about living for you, that we're about serving you, worshiping you, learning more about you, studying your word, so that we can share that witness that we proclaimed this morning, that we would be your witnesses into all the earth. So, Lord, this day, allow us to truly be a part of that. And let us not leave this place this day until we get it right. Be with us now. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour. Hymn number 397. Would you stand as we sing? And know that the altar is always open. Come as you will.